Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Tonight I want to share with you our hands before God. What does it represent? And I thought about this week when I was busy with all of this stuff. Psalm 47 verse number 1 says this, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph." One of the things we do when we go to God is we clap our hands. Psalm 134, it's not a very long psalm, says this. A song of ascent. "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." We can see clapping hands. We can see a form of worship. 1 Kings 8 verse 22. This is beautiful. Take a look at King Solomon. This is what he says. 1 Kings 8, 22. "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven. And said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above, on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all of their heart." I want you to focus on the part where he says that he spread out his hands towards heaven. Psalm 141 verse number 2 says this, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, and lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice." It's very clear that when we approach God, one of the things he will be interested in is our hands. You can clearly see that there's clapping of hands, which obviously has to do with praising, because it's praise the Lord with a shout or a voice of triumph, and it represents clapping hands. You see, you must understand that everything we do when it comes to worship, praise, prayer, being in a position of just spending time with God is in some way trying to get the Lord's attention. Are you with me? How many of you know when your child calls you, it's "Dad," right? So we clap hands. We might lift our hands to pray. We might lift our hands in worship. Some people in worship, they lift their hands really high with great enthusiasm. Some people are a little bit more shy, so they'll be kind of undercover. And then you'll get those others that are like, "This is not really my thing," but you know what I mean? You'll get guys that clap. Some of them are like, you know, they're like, they want to make sure everyone sees them clapping. Others are, and then you get guys that clap like this. And have you ever seen the guys that do this? They don't clap, but they do this. So they're joining in the clap, but they, you know. And obviously with prayer, you know, prayer is, you know, we can close our hands when we pray. Many people do that. Many people lift their hands when they pray. It's very interesting that when we're approaching God in all these different ways, our hands seem to be one of the focal points. But I want to show you something that really struck me this week. 1 Timothy 2 verse number 8 says this, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere." Now watch. "Lifting up holy hands." It's interesting. You see, it's not necessarily what your hands are doing, but the condition of your hands that's important when you approach God. Because here, Paul is telling us, he doesn't say to us, "Listen, I want you to lift your hands and clap. I want you to lift your hands like this or like this." He says what's important is that when we pray, we do it everywhere, whether it be worship, prayer, whatever it is. But he's saying, "I want you to lift up holy hands." Holy hands. And then he actually gives us something really powerful. Yeah, he says, "I want you to lift those holy hands and they must be without wrath and doubting." So in other words, I believe that what he's saying is that he wants, when you pray, that your prayers get heard. Remember, when we pray or when we worship or when we want to get the attention of the Lord, our hands are busy. But what's important when we want to get his attention is that our hands are clean before him. Is that okay, guys? What's important to God is the condition of our hands. He says, hands without wrath. You see, the Bible tells us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because it's important. The enemy will plant seeds in your heart when you allow wrath, because wrath is a response from the carnal nature. Wrath is sometimes really hard, guys. Let's be honest. We get upset sometimes. But I want you to know that if you don't get it out of your heart, it will affect your prayer. It will affect your desire to get into the presence of God, to get before the Lord and get his attention, so that your prayers are heard and answered, so that you can have an encounter with him. If you have wrath, anger and frustration, sin, unforgiveness, if these things are in you, it's going to affect your prayer. It's going to affect the condition of your hands when you approach him. The Bible tells us that it's without wrath and doubt. You must understand that if we want to get God's attention, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. One of the things that will hinder you coming into the presence of God is not believing. The truth of the matter is you probably won't even try to get his attention or truly get his attention other than when you just really have a need if you doubt. Amen. All right. I honestly believe that one of the most, how do I say this without making it sound wrong? If you want the greatest key to unanswered prayer, it's unbelief. Unbelief is a powerful, in the bad way, tool for unanswered prayer. That's why Paul tells us that we should lift holy hands without wrath, so the issues in our heart are dealt with and without doubting. It's not hard to imagine. Think about it for a moment. When someone has done something bad, we'll make a statement like, you know him, his hands are dirty, right? Or we'll say something like, you know, his hands have got blood on them when he's done something really bad. Why? Because it makes him look guilty. Right? So what is clean hands? Well, it's the opposite of that. Clean hands are hands that are pure. Clean hands are hands that are innocent. Do you have clean hands? I'm waiting for an overwhelming yes, Pastor Alex. I do. Clapping hands, praying hands, worshiping hands. Again, all things that we do to get God's attention. But in order to get his attention, our hands must be clean. Psalm 24, verse number 3 says this: who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation who of those who seek him, who seek your face. The Bible says that those who want to ascend the hill of the Lord need to have clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. The good news, theologically, and we should all know this, is that Jesus has taken away your guilt. Jesus has taken away your shame. Jesus has taken away your sin. Can you say amen? So he declares you are innocent. Are you with me? But think about what Paul says. Without wrath and unbelief. So what's the problem? Why is it that we struggle so much to approach God and be confident that our hands, when we lift them up to him, are holy? We understand that Jesus took away our sins, that he took away our guilt, that he took away our shame, that he took away our anger. But we struggle so much to grasp it to the fullness. So what can we do? What can we do to ensure that our hands begin to get cleansed? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this evening. Clean hands and a pure heart. We know the truth that we're forgiven, but sometimes understanding it and being able to deal with the issues in our hearts and in our hands, because we feel guilty, because we feel stained, because we feel dirty. Ephesians 5:25 says it like this, and I think this is so powerful. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So what's the secret? What's the secret to being washed clean? The Bible tells us that it's the washing of the word, by the word. Are you with me? In other words, you have to begin to wash with the word. If you have an issue in your heart, if you have something that's causing you to be separated from the presence of God, that makes you go before him, but when you go before him, you know that there are stains on your hand. How do you get rid of those stains? The only way that you're going to do that is by going to the word and dealing with the issue in your heart. Are you with me? Because once you begin to truly seek God, you see, praying is so wonderful, so awesome, and it's a key to joy and strength. And, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. That means that the place you get strength is from the joy of the Lord. Well, where do you get joy from? The joy of the Lord, the fullness of joy is in his presence. So you find that in his presence. So what's the enemy desperately trying to do? Keep you from the presence. He doesn't want you to enter the presence. So if you go before God and you're struggling because you feel like there's no communication, because your hands are stained and you feel dirty, or you feel like you just, you know, you've done well in this area, but you just can't overcome in this area. So the guilt is on you. You're not going to pray for very long because you're going to feel like God doesn't hear you. Remember what I said to you at the beginning of the sermon. There was a season where I was glowing in the dark, guys. I mean, I was holy. At least that's what I thought. And I was seeking God, seeking God, seeking God. Nothing got in my way, but I felt nothing. There will be times you will feel nothing, and it'll have nothing to do with your sin. Yes, your guilt and your shame is there because you don't know what God says in his word. You haven't found the solution and applied it to yourself so you can finally get the victory. The washing of the word is vital. And if you understand the context of what he's actually saying, he's talking about he compares the church to the relationship with Jesus and the church, you and the relationship with Jesus and the church. And there's an entire washing ceremony that takes place before the actual encounter with the bride and the groom. There's a ceremony that takes place that the ancient Hebrews would do. It is vital that you spend time in the word of God, seeking God's face. My wife and I were talking about this 2 weeks ago, dealing with an issue. We were talking about, how do you deal with that issue? Well, we know what the answer is. The answer is we have to seek God. How do we seek him? In prayer and in the word. But your prayer life will be affected if there's no word life, because the word will cause your mind to be transformed. Your word will cause vain imaginations to be destroyed. The word will cause the truth to set you free. Are you with me? You see, it's not enough to just come to church. It's not enough to just come here and think, well, that's it. I'm going to come to church on Sunday, get the word, glory, hallelujah, repent, and go and do life again. Because there's a problem. And if you go to James 4, verse number 8, it says this: draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Watch this now. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Oh, you double-minded. The only way your mind gets transformed is by the word of God. It's the renewing of your mind that gets transformed by the word of God. When you're in the word, it begins to transform. There's a mosquito that's really driving me crazy. It's bitten me like 3 times already. You see it? Evil little, I rebuke you, you foul mosquito. Sent from the dark side. Okay. You see, this is the problem with so many of us. And I include myself in this. The Lord will say, do this, and we don't do it. So what's the problem? We've become hearers of the word only and not doers. We must be doers of the word. We must do what his word says. The Bible tells us in Job 17, verse number 9, yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. In other words, when you go to the word of God, you get washed by the word. You go into his presence. Your hands are clean because you are free because of what Jesus has done on the cross. You see, it's not a license to sin, because what happens is your heart begins to change in the presence of God. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Because what happens is when you go to God and you spend time in his presence, everything in you gets exposed. And all you want to do is transform, is change. The problem is when you're in the word and when you're in prayer and you're doing a lot of it, it becomes like a mirror. You begin to see all the stuff in you. The good news is that if you know the word, you'll understand that it's already been paid for. God never said you would be perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. But he makes you holy. That's right. You sinner, you are holy. You have been consecrated. You have been set apart. You have been chosen by him. That makes you holy. Psalm 95, verse number 6 says this. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. I want you to know that if you seek God, if you make a choice and you make a decision to begin to honestly seek his word, to go after it. You see, the biggest problems with us is we waver so much. One day we're glowing in the dark, the next day we're in the lowest valley. And the biggest reason is because we don't live our lives by the word of God. And his word will wash you and purify you, because his word is truth. So you need to know if you are not only a hearer, but a doer as well, the process is working. You see? Sometimes, as I said, his word can be challenging. But don't be a hearer only. Be a doer as well. Why? You know, it's too hard to change. Okay, well, just try a little bit. Start. Make a decision. Make a choice. Are you with me? And as we begin to do that, as we begin to apply it to our lives, see, that's when you become not only a hearer, when you begin to apply that word. Many people read the word, but they don't live the word. When you begin to live it, when you begin to apply it, then when you go before God, begin to pray and you begin to ascend the hill of the Lord, you will have encounters with God. The will sustain you through every valley you go through. In this world, you will have trouble. Welcome to being a Christian. I'd so much rather be in the valley of the shadow of death and have the Lord Jesus with me. Because He is my rock and my strength. He is my strong tower. Can you say amen? So my prayer for you this morning, this evening, morning somewhere, is that you ascend the hill of the Lord. Make your priority to be with Him. Live your life every day seeking Him, seeking His word to transform your heart, to transform your mind, to renew you, to strengthen you, to give you life, to give you hope, to give you peace. Because you're not going to get it anywhere else. And then when you go to Him, you'll enter His presence free, without the guilt, without the shame. Because when the devil comes, you just tell him to get lost. Because you'll say this, devil, it is written. You have no right in my house. I said to my wife, there's a little issue in my neighborhood. I said, I'm going to go and get the oil. And I'm going to mark where I don't want my problem to come anymore. And he will not come anymore into that area. Are you with me? Well, how can you say that? Listen, I know someone upstairs, man. I have a relationship with him. He takes care of me. The Bible says he is a ring of fire around me, that he provides for me. He takes care of me. He loves me. I am on his mind. Oh God, I thank you that I am on your mind, Lord, that you care about me, that you care about us, Father, that you gave your life for us. And your desire is to be with us. Your desire has always been to have relationship and fellowship and intimacy with us. But you have always gone to and fro on the earth, looking for someone who will seek after you. Did Jesus not say to the woman at the well, the Father is seeking those who will worship him? How will they worship him? They will worship him in spirit and in truth. They will desire it. They will pursue it. They will pursue you, Lord. We will pursue you, Father, for we are a peculiar people. We are a people that desire your presence more than anything, because it's in your presence that there is fullness of joy. It is in your presence that we are made whole. It is in your presence that we find peace and joy, that we find life, Father. Yes, Lord, even tonight in this place, we hunger and thirst for your presence. Holy Spirit, that you would come right now into this place. We desire you. We desire you like David said, Lord, do not take your presence from me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me, Lord. Father, this is our desire, that your presence, that your spirit will go with us everywhere we go. We are hungry and thirsty for more of you. Yes, Lord, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for your provision. We are so grateful for the blessing. We are so grateful that you never leave us nor forsake us. But Father, tonight in this place, we desire you. We desire your presence. You are the object of our affection tonight in this place. We want you, Lord, and nothing else. We desire you, Father, for you are the one that we love with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength tonight in this place. Is there anybody in this place that can lift their hands? Lift your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord tonight in this place. Lift your hearts, lift your voices. Lift your hands right now. Lift your hands to Him this evening in this place. You right now, right where you are, begin to cry out to God. This is between you and Him in this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you. We thank you that you are here. This is your church, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Let's sing that now. Have your way in this place, Lord. We are here for you. Come, let's put the music on. Can we not bring our needs before Him tonight? If the only need we could have tonight was Him. We recognize, Lord, that we need You in everything. We need Your presence, Lord. We cannot be a church without Your presence. Moses understood this. That's why he said to you in the wilderness, he said, if you don't go with us, if your presence does not go with us, we can't go. Father, we are your church. We need your presence. Not because of who we are, not because we have done anything, but you have done great and mighty things. Our lives are ordinary without you. But with you, our lives are supernatural. Supernatural. Extraordinary. Wonderful. Because you are wonderful, Lord. You are mighty. You are mighty, Holy Spirit. Come and breathe on us tonight, Lord. Come and breathe and refresh us tonight with your sweet presence, Holy Spirit. Just touch every person in this place that seeks after you, that desires you in this place. Oh, the old man desires only the things of the flesh. But there is the new, born again, living and breathing on the inside of every one of us that serves you, that is crying out for more of your presence, for more of your voice, for more of your word, Father. Because the more of you we have, the more, Father, we can reflect your image to the world. The lost and the dying and the broken and the hurting. There is no answer except for you. Because you are our deliverance. Just have your way in our lives, Lord. Have your way in our families, Lord. Have your way with our children, with our loved ones, with our parents. Have your way, Father, with our church. Have your way with our businesses. Have your way. Have your way. You have your way, Father. What we need is you. More of you and less of us. More of your presence. Oh, Lord, your presence is here. Your presence is here. Your presence is here now. Just receive it now. Just lift your hands if you can. Just receive now. Just receive. The presence of God is here. The Holy Spirit's presence is now. Is he moving? He's here now. Just receive it. Just receive it now. Right there where you are, he knows you intimately, personally. You are my desire. You are my desire. You are my desire in this place. You are my desire. Oh, in your presence, Lord, in your presence we worship you, in your presence we weep before you, in your presence, Lord, let's sing that if you can.
You're my desire, you're my desire.
Father, I pray that you will change the way I think, that you will change the way I speak, that you will put your heart in our hearts, Lord, that we will see the way that you see, Father. You are our desire. You are our desire, Lord, because there is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. We honor you this evening. We praise you this evening. We worship you this evening. We glorify you in this place, Lord. In this place. In this place. We worship you. If you've come into this place and you have been feeling like your hands are dirty, all you have to do is cry out to Him. If you ask for forgiveness, the Bible says that He is good and faithful and He will forgive you for your sins. You have an opportunity right now. It's between you and Him. He can hear your thoughts right now. He can hear what you're thinking. So I don't need you to come to the front. Tell Him right there where you are. Say to Him, Father, forgive me. I desire to ascend the hill of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord. I desire your presence. Father, I pray that you will help us to see your desires more than our own desires. That we will see what it is that you want to do in our marriages, in our families, with our children, with our businesses, with everything, everything, Lord. We want to see what you want. I pray this evening, Father, that you forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh, we just desire your presence in this place. Thank you that you are here, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that your presence is here tonight in this place. That there is freedom and fullness, joy and peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Can I ask you just to take your seats for a moment? I'm going to close in just a moment. You see, when the presence of God comes, or the Word of God is before you, you'll do one of two things. You'll either take a hold of it, or you will run from it. Because what it does is it exposes your heart. That's what it does. Sometimes when we see our own hearts, we're like, ah! What's that? That's when you have to make a choice. That's when you become a doer and not a hearer of the word only. And then the Lord will come into your presence like he has this evening and refresh you. Some of you, it felt great. Some of you felt nothing. But I can assure you the presence was here. His presence is here. Now you do this every day and you will glow in the dark. That's what happens in his presence. Not the glowing part, I'm kidding about that, but you'll be changed. You can't be the same. That's why when you're going through a spiritual drought, if you want it to end, go on a 21-day fast and spend time every day praying and in the word. And at the end of the fast, all the junk will be gone. And I'm not talking about the hamburgers. When you draw near to him, he draws near to you. What is your priority? What is most important to you? Sometimes we put a high value on things that have no eternal value. And the worst is that some of us are so aware of it. We know it, we understand it, but we don't do it because we're too busy. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. They're all pointing at me. Is that okay? When all God is saying is, listen, I have the answer. I have the solution. I will change everything. All you have to do is come and sit in my presence. And then watch what I will do. Is that okay?
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.